we present A Comedy for Radio by Denis Constantioris, The Confessions of a Chatter-Upper.
Plenty of room up front, sir.
Oh, yes. I'm looking for someone, actually. Do you do that? Chase up and down the train right at the last minute, trying to make your mind up. Oh, I thought there was a fairish one further back with an empty seat next to her. Better settle for that, you think to yourself. But then you have that nagging feeling there might have been a much better one up at the front. See, that's the trouble. You've always got that feeling you might have missed something. Do you know what I mean?
Hurry up, sir, please.
Yeah, all right, right. Try going up the corridor a bit. Oh, dear, what about that? No good. Oh, dear. Had a poor lot tonight. I'd better try one of those open carriages with a gangway down the middle. Much better selection. Now, look, don't get me wrong. I know what you're thinking, but you see, I actually like them. I enjoy talking to them. Now, honestly, I'm perfectly serious. I do actually like them, as people, I mean. I know it sounds silly, but it's a fact. You see, a more crudely based physical relationship always reaches some sort of flashpoint in the end, and that's your lot, so to speak. But a properly conducted chatting up can go on indefinitely, I mean, even by post. Oh, yes. I've built up what I like to think as a sort of old girl network on which the sun never sets. What with Wendy in Pretoria and Carol in Hong Kong and the B Troop of the Oslo Girl Sea Cadets. Do you know, I could write a book about it. In fact, I've often thought about it, actually. The Chatter Uppers Handbook. 38,000 now reprinted. Chapter 1, What is Chatting Up? The reader may well ask. Oh, I'm so sorry. Can you get past? Oh, dear. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. Well, the answer is simple. Chatting up is the art of talking to women indefinitely without becoming actually involved. Can I become a chatterer? You may well inquire. Yes, indeed. Anyone can indulge in this fascinating pastime. Age is no bar. Indeed, the middle-aged or even elderly chatter-upper may in some instances find himself an advantage over his younger rival. Oh, just a minute. Oh, now this looks better. Oh, much better. Oh, you wait till she turns around. Oh, nice. Oh, very... That's very nice, yeah. Oh, that'll do fine. Thank you very much. Ah, but there's a catch in it somewhere. Sure to be. She's keeping a place for somebody, that's it. Some hearty moron gone to the buffet or the lavatory or something. Oh, well. Might as well have a go. Excuse me. Is this,
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
No.
Let me move my things.
No, please. Look, don't...
I'm so sorry. There, is that better?
Oh. Yeah. Thank you. I'm in, chaps. I'm in. It's as easy as that. Dark hair, long for these days. What sort of age? Oh, 35-ish, would you say? Pretty-ish, but not to worry. A very nice age, whatever it is. Mature? Well, if she isn't now, she never will be. Married? Well, I can't see her hand, but... Oh, yes, surely. Chapter 4, Chatting Up the Married Woman. Now, it is essentially discovered as soon as possible if she has any children. Now, this should present the average chatter-upper a few difficulties. But hold it. What's this?
Excuse me, do you happen to know what time we get to Watcombe?
Well, actually, I get out a couple of stations before, but about 20 past six, I should say.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
They don't, as a rule, start it themselves. In fact, your true chatter-upper would probably feel himself a bit cheated, but I'm not fussy. I mean, it's all one to me. Saves a lot of bother, in fact. Just a sec. She's getting out a book. Chapter 10. What's that you're reading? Or books as an aid to the chatter-upper. Oh, I wish she'd move her hand. Must have got a message. Either it's a bit off or it's too much the other way. What's the book? Hmm? The book?
Oh, this. Oh, it's just something I picked out of the bookcase. At random, actually, for the journey.
By Scooter to Samarkand. Yeah, well, sounds interesting.
It's written by a friend of my father's. He mentions Daddy, actually. That's why I got it.
Well, may I look?
Oh, yes, do. There's a photograph of him here somewhere. My father, I mean. There. Look, he's the one at the end, holding the lunch basket.
He was a large, soft-looking man in a tropical uniform, one of those peculiarly English army officers who learn all the native dialects and customs and hate anything to do with war. They probably don't have them anymore.
And in the Easter holidays, we used to go to stay with my grandmother on Exmoor. Do you know Exmoor? We used to spend the whole time riding, all day, taking our lunch and getting back after dark in the evening.
Do you know, it's surprising what a lot of ground you can cover in a short railway journey. They'll tell you anything in trains. I mean, if you get what I call a good one. I remember hearing the complete story of two divorces and a miscarriage all between Woking and Waterloo.
He knew all the names of birds and everything. He used to take me for long walks. I adored it. Once we got lost, I remember. You can terribly easily on the moor, as a matter of fact, even when you know it well. Yeah, it was pitch dark by the time we got in, and they'd all been out looking for us for ages. Mummy was absolutely furious. I got into the most frightful hot water, I remember.
You did?
Oh, poor Daddy did too, I expect. Later. Oh, are we stopping?
Well, we shall be in a minute. This is when I get out, I'm afraid. You don't live at Rodcombe?
Oh, no. No, I'm just staying with a friend. For the weekend.
A friend, eh? Oh, yes.
An old school friend.
Oh, I bet you mix schools these days, aren't I? Oh, well, that ought to be rather fun, I should think.
You live here?
No, at the weekend. My wife and family live here all the time. I'm in town during the week in Diggs.
Oh, I should think you long for Friday nights, don't you?
What? Oh, yes. Well, perhaps we shall meet going up again on Monday morning.
Well, perhaps, only... Well, I'm afraid I should be coming up rather early. I've got to take Mummy to the clinic. Anyway, thank you very much for your company.
Oh, not at all. It was a pleasure. Goodbye, then.
Bye-bye.
Rosemary never batted an eyelid when I said something about going up on the early morning train. She drove me into the station and put me down, but she didn't wait. Well, I knew she wanted to get home and begin building the new fruit cage. Do you know, it's on the platform on Monday morning, waiting for the train to come in, that I mentally become a bachelor again. Do you know that feeling? She was in a carriage by herself, and she showed no particular surprise when I slid open the door and went in.
Did you have a good weekend?
Oh, very quiet, you know, just in the garden. My wife's building a cage for the raspberries. And you?
Oh, gorgeous. I only wish it could have been longer. Oh, but there you are.
But what's that idea of a gorgeous weekend, I wonder?
Two simply adorable little corgi puppies, about 6 weeks old. I absolutely fell in love with one of them. I would have given anything to have brought him away with me.
Well, it's hopeless trying to keep a dog in London, don't you think?
Well, it isn't so much that, but I can't really, you see, because of Mummy.
She made no attempt to explain, just hunted for something in her bag. It's that kind of thing, you know, that makes chatting up so rewarding. I mean, it's a continual process of piecing together odd fragments of information. She was married, obviously, from her remarks about bridesmaids on the way down, but still no mention of any husband. Only Mummy and Daddy, with Daddy probably in the past and Mummy very much in the present.
Of course, we always had corgis at one time. They're really tough little fellows. Hmm? Daddy always said they're the bravest breed of dog.
And you haven't got anything at all now? No dog, I mean.
What, me? Oh, good gracious, no.
We were running into the suburbs, and I knew that we'd reached the crisis, that turning point in any chatting up when one has to decide whether or not to continue in our next, so to speak, or call it a day. Now, this is a moment when snap decisions have to be made.
Well, if you're in Vansittart Road, you're not so very far from me. I mean, why don't we meet one evening for a drink or a meal or something like that?
Yes. Yes, that'd be lovely.
Oh, let me have a look at my diary. Do you know the Costa Brava? Well, it's only a few streets away from you.
Next Monday, then.
Yes, Monday would suit me fine. Now, let me just put that down. Monday, 7:30, Costa Brava. Oh, I don't even know your name.
I generally begin by taking them to the Costa Brava. I mean, it's nothing out of the ordinary. There were the usual half a dozen or so single men with evening papers and one or two rather indeterminate women sheltering behind library books. I began to wonder whether she'd turn up. The usual fear took hold of me that I, too, might have to make do with an evening paper. I cast my eye round at the library books as a last resort. Oh, my God, it was a grim prospect. Then the street door opened, and she came in.
I'm so sorry. I'm afraid I'm rather late.
Oh, it's all right.
Only at the last moment, Mrs. Lotus phoned to say she couldn't come.
Mrs. Lotus?
Yes, she usually keeps an eye on Mummy if I go out.
Oh, yes, of course.
But I told the people in the basement. I should think they'd hear her if she was to fall or anything, wouldn't you?
Oh, surely.
Oh, that's the trouble. She nearly always does if she knows I'm going out. Oh, but that's enough about me. Did you have a nice weekend? How's your wife?
Oh, busy as usual, earthing up the potatoes. Well, now, what are we going to start with, Scampi? Prawn cocktail? Oh, and what about a drink? An aperitif of some sort? Then a bottle of something?
Oh, half a bottle as far as I'm concerned, please. Oh, well, that's up to you, of course.
Wow, she dressed up considerably for the occasion, which is generally a good sign, I always find.
Shall I take your wrap, or would you like to keep it on?
Oh, thank you. Well, this is nice. I don't know when I last dined out in style, as Daddy used to say.
You know, I always think the first evening's very important. You've got to establish exactly the right relationship. Not too much, if you see what I mean, but, of course, not too little. And needless to say, no two of them are exactly alike in this respect. And that's where the skill and the interest come in.
Daddy was terribly good at the net. In the final, we beat Mummy and her partner 6-2.
Oh, did you? Well, let me fill you up.
She was so angry that she never spoke another word to either of us the whole of the rest of the holiday. Oh, whoa, 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 that's for me. I didn't see what she was doing, my dear. I'll never drink all that.
Oh, yes, you will.
And another time, when she found I'd been knitting him a fair isle pullover for his birthday, she flew into such a rage that she beat me with her riding crop.
Did you say she actually hit you?
Oh, yes, she often did.
What?
Well, I suppose I just accepted it as perfectly normal at the time. Well, you don't really question things, do you, at 20?
Well, I had a question there.
It was just before the Pony Club dance, I remember, and I got on my first grown-up backless evening dress. Ooh. I had to borrow Mummy's bridge coat to cover myself up.
But you did.
It was at that dance, as a matter of fact, that I first met Bill.
Bill?
Yeah, my husband. Well, he's not my husband any longer, I'm happy to say.
Oh?
Oh, but that's another story. I've talked too much already.
Nonsense. One can't talk too much.
It's funny, because I'm not really one to talk about myself in the ordinary way, though I can hardly expect you to believe that. Oh. I'm afraid it must be the wine.
Well, let's say it's the charming company. Anyway, what's wrong with talking about oneself? It's one of the few pleasures in life that increases as one gets older.
Well, now it's your turn. Tell me about your wife. How's the fruitcake going? Oh, doesn't she hate having you away all the week?
I always reckon it's a good sign when they start to talk about Rosemary of their own free will. It shows the thing is he's on the right footing, which in my opinion is very, very important.
Oh, no more, please. You'll have to carry me home.
Well, don't let that stop you. It'd be a pleasure.
Well,
watch it, mate. This could be tricky.
No, really, thank you. It's not this evening, anyway. Another time, perhaps.
Right. I'll remember that.
Wow. Do you know, she had me worried for a minute. But I think she's got the message. The old boy and girl stuff. Good, clean fun department, all that. But with just a hint, a soupçon of something else behind it. You get what I mean? I mean, it takes years to perfect. And, of course, you've got to vary it a bit to suit each one. But once you've got it established, you cannot beat it. Well, what I always say is that it's safe. Safer even than the pill.
Well, I do thank you for a simply lovely evening. I don't know when I've enjoyed myself so much.
Well, it's very kind of you to say so.
No, not at all. I mean it.
Well, in that case, let's do it again sometime, shall we?
Well, I'd love that. Well, it's just a question of leaving Mummy.
Oh, yes, of course. I've forgotten Mummy. Your mother.
Forgotten Mummy? Well, you wouldn't if you'd ever met her. Oh, no, I shouldn't say that. It's naughty. Well, what about Wednesday, then? Would that suit you?
Well, after that, I put her on my regular list for Wednesdays. Well, it's much easier, really, you know, once they've got a definite day.
I'm so sorry. Have you been here long? Only at the last moment, Mummy wasn't very well.
Oh, dear. Nothing serious, I hope.
Oh, just one of her usual attacks when she knows I'm going out. Oh, no. No, I shouldn't really say that. Well, now, what are we going to have? This is on me tonight, don't forget.
No, I can't allow that.
I insist, or I wouldn't have come.
It's as well to give in gracefully with what I call the mature one, so it helps to create that sense of camaraderie that is the basis of a successful chatting up relationship. Besides being it so much cheaper. The younger ones, of course, don't even offer.
The first year we were married, we lived on this sort of farm place up country from Nairobi.
Wow.
Heavenly country, of course. Oh, I can't tell you how beautiful.
Well, we were always nearly the last to leave the place. The waiters used to hover around us in droves, just out of earshot, like redskins planning an attack.
They just sent me this cable saying, Daddy ill, come at once. That was on the Wednesday. I managed to get a plane and arrived back at Minehead on the Saturday night. It died that morning. I afterwards discovered that the doctor had told her to send for me nearly a week before, but she'd done nothing.
More coffee?
Oh, no, what really did hurt me was that though I arrived home at 5 o'clock and he'd only died at 9:30 that morning, she'd already had his old corgi put down. I'm afraid I can never forgive her for that. No, never.
All the lights were out except the one over our table. In the darkness, the waiters were now gathered in a group, rolling their eyes and muttering.
I never went back. He wrote 2 years ago, this Easter, asking for his cricket boots. That's the last I heard of
him. Look, do you think perhaps we'd better... Huh? I mean, it's...
Of course, Mummy and I never... Mm-hmm. Never what I call really got on. Mm. Someone has got to look after her. And anyway, since her last joke, she's not quite so strong as she used to be, thank goodness.
Look, I was only going to say, would you like me to ask for the bill and we can settle up later?
Oh,
yes?
Oh, yes. Oh, would you mind?
Waiter!
I'm afraid I seem to have been talking rather a lot this evening.
The following Tuesday, when I got back to my room, there was a note waiting for me in a large, rather unformed feminine hand.
Terribly sorry. Shall have to cry off tomorrow night, I'm afraid. Meant to have let you know earlier, but have been waiting all day for the doctor. Oh, this sounds like him now, so I must close. Yours, etc. P.S. Terribly sorry. We'll get in touch later when I know what he says.
This was most annoying. I heard nothing for nearly a fortnight. And I was just beginning to wonder what to do when one evening, as I was in the bus coming home from work, I saw her just going into the all-night chemist's. Our eyes met, but she gave no sign of recognition. The bus sailed on and I jumped off at the traffic lights. She was just coming out again as I got back. Her look of surprise when we met couldn't have been more embarrassingly false.
Oh, hello. What are you doing?
But what are you doing? It's more like it.
Oh, I was just getting Mummy's pills. I've tried to ring you several evenings, but you're never there.
You have? Well, nobody's given me any message.
Well, I'm afraid I can never make anyone understand.
I told you it's not the slightest good unless you ask for Mr. Zulfikar. I mean, he's the only one who speaks English.
Oh, well, I'm very sorry.
Oh.
Things have been a bit difficult lately. Mrs. Lotus has been away, so I haven't liked to leave Mummy, especially after her last attack.
Oh, well, in that case, I suppose I shall have to forgive you this time. So, what about tomorrow?
Tomorrow?
Well, today's Tuesday, so I'm told. Same time, same place?
Well, yes. Yes, I should think that ought to be all right. Yes, thank you. Then that'd be lovely.
And what about Mrs. Lotus?
What about her?
Well, will she be back, and will you be able to get her all right?
Oh, well, never mind about her. Yes, that'll be all right.
Are you sure? I mean, she won't let you down at the last minute or anything,
no,
I hope.
No, really. No, you needn't worry about that. Well, till tomorrow evening, then. Hmm? Lovely. That'll be something to look forward to. Bye-bye.
She gave me a quick, formal little smile and was gone. But the following evening, I hadn't been back in my room many minutes when there was a light tap on the door. It was Mr. Zulfikar.
Oh, good evening.
Oh, hello.
The English lady is ringing to inform you she is not available tonight. She is sorry. Is explaining later.
This was too much. It was far too late to ring anyone else, and I had no intention of facing the Costa Brava again with nothing but an evening paper. So I hurried straight round to Vansittart Road, feeling, I must admit, pretty aggrieved. The place appeared to be in some confusion, with people shouting to each other in various unknown languages. But through it all, I heard a familiar voice coming from the first floor landing.
If you could just keep him till the weekend, I'll try and get down as soon as I can. Only, there are rather a lot of things to see to, naturally. No, I'm perfectly all right, honestly. It's very sweet of you, but I shall be quite happy here on my own. Well, you know what I mean. Thank you. Well, bye-bye, my dear, and I'll be down as soon as I possibly can. Oh, whatever you were doing.
Well, I got your garbled message, or something vaguely like it, so I came round to see what on earth was the matter this time.
Who let you in?
Well, I don't know, some woman in a sort of sari thing. Is it important?
Well, I'm terribly sorry to have put you off at the last minute again like that, but, well, as a matter of fact, it's been rather a day, you see. Oh, it's Mummy.
Why, what went wrong? Can't you get Mrs. Lotus again?
No, it isn't that. I'm afraid she's dead. She just died this morning, actually.
Who? Mrs. Lotus?
No, Mummy.
Oh,
Mummy. She had rather a turn for the worse last night, and early this morning she died.
Oh, your mother? Oh, good.
Ought to have let you know earlier, I'm afraid, but... Well, you know how it is.
Oh, no, it's awful. I had no idea.
I thought by this evening, probably, I should be fairly straight again, but there's so many arrangements to make and things to sign and so on, and I'm afraid I'm a complete idiot about this sort of thing. I must say everybody's been terribly kind and helpful. Oh, but what are we doing standing here? Come in and have a glass of sherry or something, if you don't mind rather a muddle.
Oh, no, but look, surely, I mean...
Oh, that's all right. I was only turning out a few drawers and washing some of my things, so please don't look around too closely.
Yes, but I mean, what about...
You mean Mummy?
Yes.
Oh, she's not still here. They're terribly quick, actually. I was amazed. In fact, they were around before I was properly dressed almost. Sherry or gin or something.
She was obviously tired, but I'd never seen her look so attractive. Her eyes were brilliant, and she couldn't seem to stop talking.
The
doctor's been wonderful, so sweet. I don't know what I should have done without him. In fact, everybody's been marvellous. It's quite overwhelming. Oh, do sit down. Oh, dear, my sordid underclothes. Oh, please don't look. You don't smoke, do you?
No, I don't.
Well, have one of these little cheesy biscuits. They're rather nice.
But what will you do? I mean.
Oh, my dear, I've got plenty to do, thank you. I've got all these things to iron, and then I really should go through Mummy's stuff sometime. Oh, you mean the future?
Yeah, the future.
Well, I hadn't really thought. No, that's not strictly true. I have. I've thought a lot about everything these last few days. There, you see what you've done to me.
Me? Why me? Well, I haven't done anything.
Oh, you have, you know.
Have I?
No, seriously, I really am terribly grateful to you, John. You've been so kind, I shan't forget that.
What do you mean?
Well, those evenings together. I'm afraid I must have been a ghastly bore.
She got up and moved towards the mantelpiece. As she did so, something fell out of the chair where she'd been sitting.
You see, I'm so stupid, really. I'm afraid lots of women are. I must have somebody to talk to.
Excuse me, you've dropped
somebody
something.
Somebody to explain
look,
things, to make
you've
them...
dropped something. There, look, what? It's a bottle or something.
What sort of bottle? Oh.
I picked it up. It was quite unmistakably the bottle of pills she'd been collecting from the chemist the night before, and it was empty. So, Daddy was avenged.
Give it to me. I said, give it to me.
Our eyes met. For once, hers never wavered. She was our mother's daughter, all right.
Thank you.
Without a word, she took the bottle and put it in her handbag. At once, her manner changed. Turning, she gave me her old, rather shy smile.
Anna, well, what about another drink?
What?
I said, let me fill you up.
No, thank you.
Oh, come on, I'm going to. There. How about that?
Well, yes, all right then, thank you.
Well, cheers. Let's drink to the future.
The future?
Well, I suppose one must try to be practical. Well, that's the trouble. I'm not really. I always like to rely on other people. I never really count my change in a shop or anything, you know what I mean? I just pretend to and hope the other person's honest. Do you do that? Oh, no, of course you don't.
Well,
no, you're the practical type. Oh, dear John, you've been such a help to me, you know that?
Me? Well, I haven't done anything.
Oh, yes, you have. Taking me out and letting me talk to you the way you have, it's helped me enormously. Help me to clear my mind, kind of thing. And I'm truly, truly grateful and always shall be.
No,
I mean it. Because, to be honest, I haven't had anybody to talk to like that since Daddy died.
Yes, well, I mean,
Well, you know, I never meant to tell you this, but when you first spoke to me that day in the train, do you remember?
Yeah, well, of course I remember, but actually you spoke to me.
Something in your voice, or the way, your way of speaking or something, I don't know what it was, reminded me terribly of Daddy.
What?
Well, it sounds silly now that I know you so much better, of course, but... Well, I suppose he was in my mind or something.
Yeah.
Well, and later, that first evening at the Costa Rica when we sat downstairs...
Costa Brava, yes?
I had this queer feeling, well, I can't describe it exactly, that Daddy was trying to speak to me through you.
What?
No, don't laugh.
No,
I'm serious.
Look, I'm not laughing. Thank you.
Well, it was queer. It was your voice speaking, and yet behind all the time, it was Daddy. But talking to me as he used to sometimes on those long... Oh, marvellous walks we used to have together over the moors.
Yeah.
And suddenly, everything seemed perfectly clear. The whole future, everything.
I was appalled. It's one of the first rules of the Chatterupper's code, never to get involved. I felt myself trapped.
So I've got it all worked out in my mind, thanks to you. And as soon as I've settled Mummy's affairs, I shall give up this room and leave London.
Oh,
well,
yes.
I know you'll agree with me there, John. Oh, you don't like London, do you?
Don't I?
And I shall buy a little cottage somewhere on Exmoor. Somewhere really quiet, all on its own. I don't mind how primitive. I'm not fussy about that sort of thing.
What about... would you live there alone?
Oh, good gracious. No, my dear man, I should be terrified.
Well, then?
This is really the thing. I hardly dare tell you this because I don't know what you'll say.
My heart was beating so violently I could hardly control myself. I have to confess that my eye strayed secretly round the room for some heavy, blunt instrument. But fortunately, there was nothing immediately suitable.
In fact, that's what I was ringing her up about just now when you came in. But by the most marvellous piece of luck, she's not parted with him. Well, as a matter of fact, and she was quite honest, he is a bit inclined to get hard-pad. But,
hard-pad?
Well, I don't mind that in the least. In fact, I shall rather enjoy looking after him. Oh. Oh, I can see you're laughing at me.
I'm not laughing at you, my dear. I'm just laughing.
Typical doggy woman. Well, I don't care. I don't care in the least. You can laugh at me as much as you like. As Daddy always used to say, it doesn't matter what other people think about you. It's what you think about yourself. Oh, you must you go?
Yes.
Oh, well, look, I'm terribly sorry about tonight, but...
Yeah, well, so am I.
Well, you do see, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I do.
Oh, what about next week, then? Oh, no, well, wait, wait.
Next week,
wait a minute. I'd better not commit myself, perhaps. Look, let's leave it like this.
Yes.
I'll give you a ring
that's
one
it.
Evening as soon as I'm free.
Right.
How's that?
That's excellent, yes.
And thank you so much for popping round. It was sweet of you.
And, of course, that was the last I ever saw of her. But she lives on, so to speak, enshrined forever in my Christmas card list. So, at the moment, I've got a temporary vacancy on Wednesday evenings. And, as a matter of fact, I was just wondering if by any chance... Excuse me, just a moment. As you were. Oh, excuse me, is this seat by any chance taken? You sure? Oh. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, well. Another time, perhaps. So sorry. Bye.
That was Dinsdale Landon and Jane Wenham in Confessions of a Chatter-Upper by Dennis Constantioris. Production was by Brian Miller.